keep it away from private equity.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Britain's biggest labor union is calling on the UK government to intervene in the sale of Jaguar and Land Rover. Specifically, it doesn't want to see the companies in the hands of a private equity firm. That's a possibility now that Ford has confirmed it's selling the two British luxury brands. Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard has more.
Analysts say the most likely buyer of Jaguar and Land Rover will be a private equity firm. They're the most able to raise the $6 or $7 billion it could require. But the unions here are currently waging a campaign against private equity. They claim that buyout firms are parasitical, laying off workers to make a quick buck. Tony Woodley, head of the UK's biggest union, says the British government has got to save Jaguar and Land Rover from that fate. He says any other European government would.
They would put public money in if needed be, in order to make sure that these manufacturing champions stay alive and viable in the short term, in order to maintain those skills, those jobs.
19,000 British jobs are at stake, he says, 60,000 if you include suppliers. But the British government has ruled out intervention, saying that any sale would be a matter for Ford. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Asian markets closed lower today. European markets are down in early trading. Down would be a good way to describe Wall Street yesterday. Blame high bond yields for the slumping market. The Dow plunged 129 points, 13,295. That's 380 points off its record high. The Nasdaq skidded 22 points. It opens today at 2549. And the S&P slipped 16 points to 1493. Things are jumping at the Wall Street Journal. The New York Times is reporting a major reorganization of the journal's newsroom will be released today. These changes are happening on the same day the Bancroft family is expected to submit a plan to Rupert Murdoch. That plan is concerned with protecting the editorial integrity of the paper should Murdoch take over. The Bancroft family controls the Dow Jones Company, which owns the Wall Street Journal. Four senators will turn up the heat on China this afternoon. They're unveiling a bill intended to protect U.S. trade interests from undervalued currencies like China's. Last year, China's trade surplus with the U.S. swelled to $232 billion. But some are worried that too much pressure on Beijing could trigger an all-out trade war. Jeremy Hobson has a story.
Democrats Charles Schumer and Max Baucus and Republicans Lindsey Graham and Charles Grassley are behind the bill. In 2005, Schumer and Grassley tried and failed to get Chinese goods slapped with a 27% tariff. Many who think China is manipulating its currency want strong action this time around. Robert Scott is with the Economic Policy Institute.
The ideal situation is for a bill that would very quickly impose tariffs on China if they failed to revalue their exchange rate.
Many businesses and labor groups agree. Sebastian Malaby at the Council on Foreign Relations doesn't.
Picking fights with China over imports on the basis of its currency regime is simply to pick the wrong thing to emphasize in the China relationship.
And could, he says, hamper cooperation on issues like North Korea and environmental reforms. Yesterday, China's government warned American tariffs would bring a swift response. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
What's yellow? About 150 calories. And smells like a banana. A Twinkie. In a blast from the past, the spongy cake treat is now offering a banana cream center. That's the way it used to taste back before World War II. But a banana shortage during the war forced Hostess to switch from banana to vanilla. The company has offered the original Twinkie flavor in the past for limited time promotions. The last time, sales rose by 20%. It's making the banana option permanent now.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Science and Technology Reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
For the last few years, one of the frustrations of the construction business has been thieves who steal copper. But now crooks have their eye on more than just pipes and wire. Despite the slump in housing, there's still a strong demand for used bricks. And as Matt Sepik reports from St. Louis, a crime known as brick rustling is on the rise there.
Sure, St. Louis is best known for its modern stainless steel arch, but venture away from downtown into the old residential areas and nearly every building is made of solid red brick. Rich clay deposits here made St. Louis the nation's brick manufacturing capital a century ago. But now, thieves are tearing entire walls off abandoned buildings just to get that brick. Larry Giles of the St. Louis Building Arts Foundation says the problem has escalated.
There's been a big interest in stealing ornament from buildings now for the past 10 or 15 years, but within the last several years, why the brick thievery has been a big issue, particularly on the near north side.
The vast majority of used brick dealers are on the up and up. Bud Bolt buys bricks from demolition companies who get city permits when they tear down buildings. Bolt says 4 years ago, he sold bricks to construction companies for around 18 cents a piece. They now fetch nearly twice that, and some dealers are getting even more. He says most go to southern states where demand is high, and builders want the bricks to give brand new McMansions an old world veneer.
Our brick has a certain character to it. It's a prettier brick. We have a distinctive color up here that no place else in the United States, and that's because of the clay.
You might think tearing down abandoned buildings and recycling the bricks to beautify new homes would be a good thing, but Michael Allen doesn't see it that way. He's rehabbing a place on St. Louis's near north side, and he says the building carcasses brick rustlers leave behind keep other potential home buyers away from his neighborhood.
They've actually taken down three walls on a lot of these buildings, and so they're nothing more than a front facade and some sagging building material inside.
He's concerned all that mess is driving down the value of property in the area, including his. There's a new law on the books here meant to combat brick rustling, but Allen and others say this particular crime is a low priority for police. In St. Louis, I'm Matt Sepik for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.